The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for our sermon for confirmation today is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, and dear Rebecca, your confirmation text today talks about your survival as a Christian. We ask such questions as, how can you survive the attacks of Satan, the perversity of human nature, and the sinister influence of this unbelieving world? These are certainly valid questions. Time and time again, we have witnessed casualties sustained by God's young people who no longer go to church and seem to have fallen by the wayside. These many months, which seem to have passed all too rapidly, you have been instructed in that precious wisdom which shows you how to survive spiritually. At times, no doubt, these hours of confirmation instruction seemed long, and our energy seemed to lag, for a certain amount of effort had to be put in. But all in all, those were precious hours, for they brought you the most precious information from the wisest of the wise, our God and Lord himself. May these truths become all the more dear to you, Rebecca, as the years roll on. A good basis for our address today on the essence of our instruction these past months is a word of our text. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. May the Lord bless the meditation. Firstly, we consider the information on spiritual survival which has been imparted to you. First of all, there are the Ten Commandments. You were taught that these commandments are not arbitrary rules of man's own making, and therefore cannot be set aside at will when they do not suit your fancy and purpose. They are the immutable, unchangeable will of God. All the wisdom of the ages has not been able to improve upon these rules of conduct. They are basic and fundamental for the well-being of the human race. These commandments group themselves in two sections or tables. The first table tells of our duty to God. Heading the list is the command that we give our heart's foremost and highest devotion to the Lord God. Then follows the mandate that we revere and honour his name and fame, and then that we show forth our reverence and esteem by regular participation in public worship. In the second table, our duty to our fellow man is outlined. Heading the list is a command that we give proper respect, honour and obedience to God's representatives on earth, in the home, the school and the state. Then we are taught that life is God-given and therefore sacred, and that for the well-being of the individual and society, God has instituted his requirements for marriage, moral purity and sanctity of personal property, the protection of our neighbour's good name and fame, and has also set forth the evil of covetousness. All this God summarises with a threat to those who disregard these commandments and with a promise of blessings that overflow to distant generations to all who honour and revere his holy will. These Ten Commandments are 10 pillars of wisdom that serve as the foundation on which the well-being of our human society rests. To set them forth clearly and positively by systematic instruction is greatly needed in our day and age, which is characterised by disorder, disobedience and lawlessness. To observe them is to court the blessing of heaven. To disobey them is to bring about chaos, ruin and death. But a knowledge of the Ten Commandments, as necessary as that is not enough. The Ten Commandments are like the Geiger counter in this nuclear age. The Geiger counter is a device which reveals a noxious and destructive presence of radioactive particles. These radioactive particles, if they invade the human body, bring about a slow and horrible but certain death. But the Geiger counter can do nothing to protect the individual against these pernicious forces. Other measures must be taken for protection. Likewise, the Ten Commandments reveal to us the presence of the destructive forces of sin and evil, not only around us, but also within our own selves. We know how the Scriptures declare in Psalm 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." And in Romans chapter 7 verse 18 we read, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." We read in Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." The law will reveal sin, but it will not save us from sin. So something more is needed. God has therefore given us the gospel. Rebecca, you have been taught the precious truth that God has provided a remedy for sin and evil. This he has done by sending his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world, who has revealed the true God to us in his love, who suffered and died on the cross in our place and stead, and who brought a perfect and complete atonement for all people. You have learned to know more fully and richly what our Catechism declares in the explanation of the second article of the Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. At great cost he has saved and redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. All this he has done that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. This is the most precious truth of all. The Bible calls this gospel the good news, the best news this sin-darkened world has ever heard or can ever hear. This is the real secret of survival. It is the only remedy for this world's ills. It is the only hope of every individual soul. But it is not meant to be kept a secret. God wants that good news to be published in all the world so that all people may learn how to survive the sure and final destruction which will break upon the world on the last day. Rebecca, these precious truths you have learned. You know the answer to the soul's most important question, what must I do to be saved? Namely, the simple but essential directive, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your only but all-sufficient Saviour, as recorded in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Our second point is spiritual equipment for spiritual survival. But not only have you been given precious information on how to survive, you have also been provided with spiritual equipment on spiritual survival. The first item of your equipment is prayer. Prayer is a Christian's vital breath, is in one of our hymns. A Christian who does not pray frequently and regularly is in danger of dying spiritually. You have been taught the essence of true prayer and have been equipped with the power of prayer. You have learned that true prayer is addressed only to the triune God. God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We can come to God only through Jesus, who has reconciled us to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore we must pray in his name, as he directed us to do. We must pray with true faith and confidence, and we must submit our petitions to God's will and his providence. How wonderful it is that we can come into the presence of God as dear children approach their dear Father. For Jesus has promised in John chapter 16, verse 23, "Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Surely it is true that more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. I cannot understand the mysteries of this complex universe, from the atoms to the stars, but that does not keep me from enjoying a good meal three times a day, and a wonderful sleep every night, and a glad awakening every morning. I cannot understand how I, a poor miserable sinner, can speak to a holy and infinite God. But that does not keep me from folding my hands three times a day to thank him for his bountiful gifts and to cast myself upon his watchful care each night and to implore his help and guidance each morning. Next in your equipment is the word and the sacraments. The first of these, the sacrament of holy baptism, was made available to you when you were but a little baby. There at the font, you are washed in the cleansing waters of forgiveness. You were received into the kingdom of Christ, and your name written in heaven. Then came the months and the years of instruction in the Christian faith and doctrine, and the church, with all her services of the word, was made available to you. And now you are to be received into membership with this congregation by confirmation, upon your voluntary confession of faith. So now remains the last item of your equipment, which is so necessary for the survival of your faith, and that is the Lord's Supper. Here at the altar, in the Blessed Sacrament of Holy Communion, the Lord Jesus comes into closest possible union with you. For as you receive the consecrated bread and wine, you receive the body and blood of Christ, with which he purchased your redemption. This assures you personally and individually that God forgives you all your sins, strengthens you in this faith, and binds you body and soul to him in willing and loving service. Finally, we consider the besetting dangers that lurk around. And now our text says to you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him. Perhaps I ought to tell you too of some of the dangers which you will encounter through life. Although they are often unseen, like the radioactive air, yet they are deadly in their effect. You'll note that our text stresses the word all and says advisedly, trust in the Lord with all your heart, in all your ways acknowledge him. You'll soon meet people who want to divide. There'll be those who want to attempt to divide the heart. They will say, it is all right to be pious and godly in church, but you cannot be expected to act that way in your everyday life. Business and religion do not mix. Again, there'll be those people who want to divide the church. They say, I want to divide it laterally and separate the chancel from the nave. They will say, it is all right to listen to spiritual truth from the pulpit and the altar, but in the pews, the people can take it or leave it as they choose. Again, some people want to divide the church perpendicularly and separate the law side from the gospel side. They will say, it is all right to listen to the law, to live right and do right as best as you can, but never mind the gospel, which tells you that you need Christ and are lost without full and complete faith in his atoning blood. Or they may take the complete opposite position. Live as you please. God loves you. He knows you can't keep the Ten Commandments, so he doesn't expect you to keep them. Others want to divide the church horizontally and separate the church from real life. They will say, oh, it is all right to listen to the preaching of spiritual truths in church and the lessons on Christian stewardship, but in real life it is different. The truths and principles taught in the one conflict with the atmosphere of the other. Faith and life do not mix. But over against all those deadly subtleties of dividing the house of God and thus dividing our souls, our text declares, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Rebecca, you have been equipped with the word of God and the sacraments. This is the best equipment with which you have received. Nothing has been spared of time or effort to give you the best spiritual equipment possible, but you must use it. The best equipment is of little value if it is not used. Some time ago, a train caught on fire. It appeared that the insulation on the cables of the motor, soaked with grease and oil over the years, had ignited, And soon there was a blaze and a rapidly spreading fire, emitting huge volumes of black smoke. Excitement reigned for a while as the train driver and guards gathered around the fire, wondering just what to do. Immediately, they went for the fire extinguishers in the carriages. Every available extinguisher was taken down from its bracket in each carriage. But they had become so corroded that they were of little or no help. Perhaps they had never been used since they had been installed. At long last, an alarm was sent to the local fire station, which responded promptly, and within a few moments of their arrival, the fire was put out, and the train went on its way again. Here is a parable of our Christian life. Our prayers are like those fire extinguishers. Always the prayer books lie in their respective places, but we never use them. When some emergency occurs, we finally remember them. But we often find that they have become so corroded from lack of attention and use that they do not function properly. The word and the sacrament, on the other hand, are like that fire station equipment. They are always in perfect condition, ready to dispense help. But we avail ourselves far too infrequently of their services. And at last, when the fire is too big and out of control, with the very flames of hell licking at our heels, we try to turn to these agencies when it may be too late. Some people appeal to the services of the church only to conduct a funeral, and all that one can do then is to bury the corpse. So, dear Rebecca, let me plead with you, therefore, to use the equipment which the church has placed at your disposal. Use it regularly. Let her prayers, her hours of worship, and her precious sacraments, yes, the finest has been provided for you by our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now it is up to you to use them. Help also to keep in the best working condition by your regular use and your support. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hymn 178. Rebecca, please come forward. Rebecca, Ruth, Reisenzweig, you have been baptised in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So you were received by our Lord Jesus Christ and made a member of his Holy Church. According to our Lord's command, you have been instructed in the Word of God and led to know his will. It is fitting, therefore, that you should, before God and this congregation, make a public confession of your faith and affirm the covenant made by God with you at your baptism. I therefore ask you, do you, this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, renew and confirm the solemn covenant which at your baptism your sponsors made in your place?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Moses, and the
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered on the Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and next he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you desire to be a communicant member of our Evangelical Lutheran Church?
Yes, I do.
Do you hold all the books of Holy Scripture, of both the Old and the New Testaments, to be God's revealed word, and the doctrine of our Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from these books, as you have learned to know it from the small catechism of Dr. Martin Luther, to be true and correct? Do you also intend to continue steadfast in this confession and suffer all, even death, rather than to fall away from it?
Yes, I do so intend with the help of God.
Do you finally intend faithfully to conform all your life to the rule of the divine word, conduct yourself as befits the gospel of Christ, and in faith, word and deed, remain true to the triune God, even unto death? What you have confessed and solemnly promised here before God and these witnesses, now promise at the Lord's altar also, giving your hand as a pledge of your promise. Rebecca, kneel down, make a confirmation vow, and receive the Lord's blessing. The Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, renew and increase in you the gift of the Holy Spirit, for your strengthening in faith, for your growth in grace, for your patience in suffering, and for the blessed hope of eternal life. Amen. I greet you with the words of the Certificate of Confirmation, the text which is for the sermon today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And from the congregation, please receive this small catechism by Dr. Kayla, and also our statement of faith and also that card. Let us pray. Please stand. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for making your Son Jesus Christ known to Rebecca through the Gospel. Continue to enlighten and strengthen her through your Holy Spirit, so that she may grow in faith, in reverence for you, and in knowledge of you. Let nothing ever undermine her faith or lead her away from the truth which she has confessed today. Give her power to bear the fruits of faith and to stand firm unto the great day of victory, when all who have fought the good fight of faith will receive the crown of glory. For your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Rebecca, I now admit you to the fellowship of the Lord's table and invite you to participate in its privileges in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and Head of the Church. Dear congregation, Rebecca has confessed her faith in your presence. Receive her as a confirmed member of this congregation. Remember her in your prayers. Set her a good example and care for her well-being so that she may remain faithful to the Lord and finally receive from him the crown of eternal life. The God of peace sanctify you wholly and keep your soul and body sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.